Emma Woodhouse, handsome, clever, and rich, with a comfortable home and happy disposition, seemed to combine some of the best blessings of existence and had lived for nearly 21 years with very little to distress or vex her. Thus opens Jane Austen's novel Emma, begun in 1814, finished in 1815, and published in 1816.
That's author, pianist, musicologist, and Jane Austen enthusiast, Jan E. Irvin, giving the introduction to a concert in play she created, which allows her to bring one of Austen's most popular works to life. From the keyboard, Jan Irvin performs as some of the characters from the book Emma, and demonstrates the music of the era. Jan Irvin's eyesight was damaged shortly after her birth, and slowly grew worse over time. Her recently published autobiography, entitled Making Friends with Other Trees and Flowers, A Story of Low Vision and High Expectations, tells her life story and demonstrates her remarkable memory. She'll be performing If Emma Had Practiced on stage at the Atria Bell Court Gardens on Friday, January 27th at 7 p.m. So I started my interview by asking Jan to explain the meaning of the title.
The author is very clear in saying, though she played quite well, even Emma herself knew she could have, should have been able to play better and more difficult pieces. And in reference to her art, a loaded remark by Jane Austen herself is, there were many pictures that Emma had drawn, some nearing completion, some just started, all of which showed promise, but it is those which she had just started which showed the most promise of all. Mm-hmm. So therefore, Emma is confronted by Jane Fairfax, who is her exact contemporary. They're both 21-year-old young women. But Jane, who has had to make a life for herself, was taken by a family friend to London to grow up there, to have proper training, to become a governess. That terrible fate will not be hers, thanks to a romance. But she truly has talent. She is a fine pianist and a fine singer. So Emma, evening after evening, hears this girl who plays the way that she could have or should have been able to do herself. And even she herself says, my playing is just worthy of compliment, but Jane's goes beyond compliment. So she knows. And at the very end, we know that when she hears Jane playing so beautifully, she gets up early the next morning and practices for an hour and a half. If that isn't a tongue-in-cheek comment by the author, nothing is, because we know that an hour and a half will not mend a decade of slothful practicing.
Well, where does your flair for acting come from, Jan? What led you to want to attempt something where you play so many different characters?
The two things that come to mind, and this is a very serious answer. People often have said, oh, Jan, you've taken acting classes? No, I haven't. But in reality, I have acted every day of my life. This, again, is the message of my biography. Though I grew up with low vision and now am blind, I have been lucky enough to remember the stance, the attitude, the physical presence of one who can see, even though in a limited manner. So the truth of the matter is I have acted every single day of my life for over half a century. And so what I am doing now is one step beyond that, but also encouraged by the visual limitation, because all of my reading for the past 50 years has been out loud. In my childhood years, my mother would have read the Jane Austen books to me. Now I have my favorite works that I listen to on cassette, on CD, and in many cases they have been adapted for film on DVD. Mm-hmm. This includes all six novels of Jane Austen. Since I hear the works always being read out loud, I am approaching it through the spoken word rather than the written word. Hence, it's a very easy step to create the characterizations myself.
The setting of your presentation is the same as the novel, 1816.
Correct.
And you have chosen the pieces of music very carefully. Tell us about that.
It just so happens that my doctorate from the University of Arizona is a doctor of musical arts, and my dissertation was finishing unfinished keyboard works of W.A. Mozart. When, years after I had finished school and Jane Austen became so popular from the early 80s with the BBC film productions, I found myself listening to all of the musical examples. For the most part, they were very well chosen. There were a few exceptions. So when in 1996 I began to give lectures called Jan on Jane, Music in the Novels of Jane Austen, I realized that my own musicological background had set me exactly in the era for figuring out what pieces Jane Austen and her characters would have played. I say that deliberately because now we know quite a bit about what Jane Austen had played, even to a specific Haydn sonata that she copied. She might personally not have played the Mozart K310, which I give to her Jane Fairfax, but her character of Jane Fairfax had had a more extensive degree of musical study than had the author herself. I make a couple of characters play in my version, even though we knew they could play, but Jane Austen saved us from the pain of hearing them play in the book itself.
You mentioned how the works of Jane Austen have received a new wave of popularity with today's generation. Can you talk a little bit about the impact that you've seen on your audience and perhaps maybe even girls or young women that you've heard from who are Jane Austen fans? How do they feel about this presentation?
When I first presented If Emma Had Practiced, which was in 2008, my friends told me that all during the intermission break, these college girls who may or may not have read the story were saying, "Oh, is she going to marry Mr. Knightley? Oh, do you really think Mr. Elton is going to do this? How is it Emma could behave that way?" All of a sudden, the characters were coming to life as real people. So I am finding out that many, many times. The last time I gave this in public was a year ago. Several people had been invited through advertising, and several of them, to my delight, came down from Phoenix clad in Regency-style dresses. Because, of course, the Jane Austen Society of North America, of which I've been a member for many years, has grown, and we have an active branch here in Tucson. So many times I will invite my friends to come to the program in costume, and of course I always wear a Regency costume when I give this program, because you then have a feeling that you are disappearing into the novels. I have had people tell me that that is the case too, once you put on the dress, once you hear the music, and in the case of my friends who are dancers, once you dance to the music, you really feel as though you have disappeared into the novels themselves. And if you look very carefully, you might even meet Mr. Knightley, or from a different book, Mr. Darcy. 200 years after the Elizabethan era, we have Jane Austen. 200 years after Jane Austen, we have our own present era. And these pieces, now 400 years old, are just as fresh and enjoyable as they would have been then.
Jan E. Irvin presents If Emma Had Practiced at the Atria Bell Court Gardens on Friday, January 27th at 7 p.m. There's a link to find out more online at azpm.org.